Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Be playing or doing something completely just opposite, and he'll go, "We need to pray for Daddy, or we need to pray for Pa, or we need to pray," and he'll stop, or he'll look at me, and if I seem a little off, like my head looks like maybe it's hurting, or I've stubbed my toe, anybody else, and you're like, "I'm not going to speak, because nothing good will come out." So you're just silenced, and you do that weird thing where you step on the other toe, trying to like stop the blood. I don't think it works, but yeah, it's a knee-jerk reaction. And he'll come and he'll just go, "Thank you, Jesus. Healed, amen." And then he's like, "Now move along. Get over it. We're done. It's over. Come on." He doesn't let you sit there in sorrow. So anybody else, you love kids. You love your kids. You're graced for your own kids. And the kids we're given are a reward from our Heavenly Father. And I don't care how you became a mom, you're a mom. And there's incredible women in this room, and I'm going to share a little bit of the story today that we know is the Christmas story, but I'm going to focus a lot also on the story of Mary and just some key things that the Lord has showed me. But before we do that, could you pray with me? Jesus, I just thank you for your word, Lord, your word that has stood the test of time, that lived long before any of us ever were here. And we thank you, God, that it is as alive then as it is right now. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We invite him into this room right now. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit, that no miracle ever happened without him. And we invite him into this room. We know in your word it says that he hovers over his people, and we ask right now for him to fall in this place all the way down to our kids' ministry. Oh, we thank you. Welcome, Holy Spirit. We welcome you today, and we ask that you speak through me, for anything I have to say does not help a single soul, but everything you say, God, brings life and life abundantly. So use me today, God. We open our hearts, we open our minds, our ears to hear your word, that it may fall on good, ready soil to produce fruit in our lives that we all would enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas. I'm so glad you're here for our Christmas service. Last year kind of threw me off because it was Christmas Eve, our Christmas service, and then this year did something funny, and it's Christmas is on Wednesday. It's a leap year, right? Is that what it is? How many of you are done shopping? I know Pastor Mike will not be raising his hand on that one. Yes. Done? Who's not done? All right. There are my people at. I got two left, because two of them aren't going to be here. So anybody else? How many of you are watching packages? Yeah. Okay. The honest ones, you're like, yes, the shopping's done, but they have not arrived. How many of you have ever gotten a gift you didn't like, but you knew better than to say it? How many of you did say it? Yeah, all right, the honest ones. I remember we would do a gift exchange with extended family before, and generally you give ideas, and nobody really knew me very well at that point, and so somebody had gotten me, and instead of the list, they got me a bunch of these weird Christian books, but they weren't Christian books, but they're like, "She's a Christian, she'll like these." And I'm like, "I don't know what these are." So I started reading. They were weird. I'm like, "I'm not reading this. This is not even about Jesus. Get out of here." Have any of you gotten a gift and you're like, "Do you know me at all? Have we ever met? Have we ever spoken?" What I love about our Heavenly Father is that the gifts that he gives to each of us, they are so precise, and they are so intricate, and they are so detailed, and they are wrapped in a way that shows he knows each of us so well. Down to the detail, he doesn't miss anything. The gifts in the Word of God, even ones that are available for us all, our inheritance as sons and daughters of God, he still wraps them special for each of us. And they come differently the way that we need them to come when we need them to come. Some of us this Christmas, we need peace. Some of us need healing. And he's wrapped it in a way that you need it. And it would be silly on Christmas morning for us to go look at the presents and go, that one's wrapped really pretty. Wow, that one's wrapped even. Wow, that one looks just like you. Mine used to be penguin wrapping paper. My mom would do mine in penguin because I love penguins. I still do. She doesn't do that anymore, by the way. I've grown up. But as a kid, it would be penguin wrapping paper. But imagine having your special gifts and it's like, that looks just like something I would love. And you leave it there and you're like, I don't want to open it because it's so pretty. Sometimes you see things and it's like, that is so pretty. I don't even want to eat it. I've never felt that way. I'm like, it looks so pretty. I got to try it. I got to eat it. Let me get in there. I'm glad I'm not alone in there. You're like, yes, I've never understood that comment. It's too pretty to eat. No, it's not. I will show you. But God would have all of these presents for us with your name on it, written to you. And how silly would it be to go, thank you, and then just leave it there? And although we all can agree that that sounds foolish, and that nobody, if you saw it there in front of your face, would actually do that, how many of us are not grabbing our inheritance as children of God? We're not grabbing the peace. We're not grabbing the healing. We're not grabbing the provision that God has already wrapped beautifully with our name on it. We've left it there at the tree. Do you know he never takes them back? That's good news. If there's been something wrapped with your name on it, which I suspect if there's an area of your life it's not what you would like it to be, then there's a present wrapped that you haven't opened. Yeah. That's really good. And he doesn't take them back and go, well, you missed it. That was a 24-hour thing. Mine now. No, every single promise is yes and amen, which means amen literally means this: when God speaks, nothing can stop it. When God gives, nothing can take it back. Nothing stops that gift. And when Jesus came, when God sent his son, it was a gift. Nothing could stop it. Nothing can stop you from having what God says you can have. Nothing, no one, no principality, no enemy, no demon can stop you from having what God came to give you. It would love to, but it can't stop your inheritance. It can try to get here and cause you to start imagining something that's not your inheritance. But it can't stop the gift that's already been given and arrived at your door. Have you ever seen invisible ink? And I used to think that was fun. And I would give it to my brothers and write something, and they'd be like, what is this? And I would say something, it wasn't mean, but it would just be like something silly. And they would throw it away, and I'd go back later and be like, there it is. I was a weird kid. I'm a weird adult still. But invisible ink. Imagine that. That is what the enemy would like to do over your entire inheritance. Cover it. It's right there, but you can't see it. Can't read it. Why? Because I want you to focus over here. See, the enemy can't take anything from you, but he can try to shift your focus. But you get to decide where your focus goes. Oftentimes, what we've been asking God for, our miracle, is as simple as a shift in our focus. And instead of looking at the problem, which is so easy to do, because problems scream, it's all they have going for them, is volume. But when something that's stronger comes in, they don't need to scream, because it already knows who's stronger. That's the beauty of your relationship with Jesus, is that you are what is stronger because he is in you. We're going to receive the inheritance that God has for us. and the miracles that you need in your life right now, if you would just close your eyes, what is it? Is it healing? Is it a new job? Is it provision? Is it maybe it's a wife or a husband? Maybe you've been asking God for a child. Maybe it's you've been dealing with something even privately that no one else knows about. What is it? Now I want you got it? I want you to now visualize just your Heavenly Father. Nothing else. Who is He to you? How do you see it? Because if you look at your Heavenly Father like He's withholding from you, or like He's disappointed or angry, that is what you will receive, because it's what you think He is. But if you look at Him as a good, good Father who withholds nothing good from His children, who took shame and condemnation, who took every single lie of the enemy, who took every single, the worst thing you ever did, the worst moment you ever had, and paid it. Who is God to you? Is He everything? Is He the ultimate? Is He the healer? Or is He someone you visit every once in a while on a Christmas or Easter Sunday? Because as real as you will let Him be to you is as real as He will be through you. You can open your eyes. How do you see it? How do you see Him? The Holy Spirit has worked with me so much in that of how do I view God? And then how does God view me? Because sometimes my view of myself, if I'm honest, is not spectacular. And this isn't part of necessarily the message, but it is in a way. But I just feel like I'm supposed to say this for a moment. And I'll be vulnerable with you because at a point in my life, I really struggled with an eating disorder. Like, really struggled with it. And I remember I would nearly cringe when I walked by a mirror to the point where I just would not look. Like, I would audibly cringe. I would sigh. I wouldn't want to look. You may think that's stupid. You may not be able to understand that. That's fine. Whatever yours is. But that there was a time in my life where that was really significant, and I could not seem to get over it. I would try, and I couldn't. And I asked the Holy Spirit, hey, at some point in my life, I'm going to have a kid. Boy, girl, I don't know. But never do I want them ever to feel like this when they walk by a mirror. And they're going to watch me walk by mirrors. And I will not react this way in front of them, which means something has to switch. And I prayed the most powerful prayer you can pray. God, help me. Don't know what to do, but help me. And when you ask that, you have to really want to know the answer, because He'll tell you. That's the thing. You ask God for help, and He will tell you, but you have to want to know the answer. And He said, now every time in faith when you walk by a mirror, I want you to look at it, and you don't keep walking until you've said something nice, until you've said you're beautiful or something. And sometimes, I'm not kidding you, it was about 15 minutes once. I was like, I cannot come up with something. I can't. He's like, well, then you can stand there. I stood. If you're here, the Holy Spirit talked to you, and you're like, uh-huh, okay. This is a lesson, and we're going to learn it right now. And I stood there until I said, okay, God, I've got nothing. I've come up with nothing. And He goes, why don't you try something I've come up with? So I looked again, and He said, now, what are some things that you know that I've said? I said that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only, and I'm never beneath. blah, 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 is basically my attitude as I was saying it. And he said, no, I want, just listen for a minute. And I heard him start saying it. And I'm telling you, it was like something just broke, because it was no longer me trying, and it wasn't my opinion. It was I heard the voice of God and what he thought about me. And no matter what I saw, that didn't matter anymore. You have to let the Holy Spirit tell you what he thinks about you, because if you don't, everything else will tell you what you should think about you. And I love the story of Jesus coming to earth, because everything about it looked quite opposite of what we would suspect. God sends the King of all kings. And not in a palace. You'd think you're sending your son, the savior of the world. Wouldn't you want him to be born in the best of circumstances, in a palace? I mean, moms who've had kids, do you want to give birth in a barn? I mean, imagine the smell alone. Yeah, not really. I mean, count me out. I'm not really into it. Not ideal. And I used to think, God, why would you do that? Why would you do that? See, God saw something no one else could see. And he wrapped it in a way that all of us could understand. Because I've never lived in a palace. I'm not, you know, there's very few of us, I would say. If you grew up in a palace, cool for you, but I don't know many. I've never met somebody who did. And God sent his son, the King of all kings. And he was born around animals and put in a manger. Now, why? I'm going to show you why he did this. Go with me to Luke. Luke, were you waiting for that? Yes. Hi, Luke. Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This was the first registration. How would you say this? Quirinius. Yes. I'm going to call him Sir Q, was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. This is a traditional story. He was born in Bethlehem, which Bethlehem means house of bread. And in the word, it says that Jesus is the bread of life. And God doesn't do things by accident. And it's not like he was like, he's the house of the, think of a weird food. It was something that everybody, it was a staple back then. No matter what meal you were having, bread was involved. It was something, no matter what class of people you were in, how much money you had at the table, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or whenever they ate back then, who knows if it was breakfast, lunch, dinner, they had bread. So he made something ordinary that everybody could understand and everybody was used to and had a palate for and needed daily to live. He made it simple. It was all like, and this is the house of the sushi, which some people care for and some do not. Yeah, I got good faces and I got some like, ew, faces. This was something, it was a staple. Everybody liked it, everybody had it.
And it, even in moments like that of where he was born, it was something so simple as, hey, I've come for everyone. No matter who they are, where they are, what they are, I've come for everyone. I haven't come for a specific group of people. I have come for every single one. The house of bread, the bread of life, something you need for every day. I need him every day. And he was born off the grid in the manger. This was not just a manger that was sitting around. This was the one they had for the prize animal that they would sacrifice. Because before Jesus came and died on the cross, there were animal sacrifices. And they would raise one to be as perfect as could be, and that would be the manger for that. And that's where they put him in. Why? Because it says he was the lamb that was slain. Think of how specific and detailed God was about his son. And yet he calls us sons and daughters of God. Think of how specific and detailed he is about your life and the things that he loves about you and the things that he wants about you. He wasn't just this way with his son. He was this way with all of us because we're all sons and daughters of the Most High God. I think a lot of the reason was so that as many people could relate to him as possible. Go with me. I'm going to read this because I did not give them this verse, so I'm going to really ask that you go to your word and read it with me. Matthew 1. It's the first book in the New Testament. I'm going to read this. And it is the birth of Jesus Christ. And I may pause in and out of here. I'm not sure, but we're going to read through verse 25, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, all right, adults in here, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now let's pause there. They did like 7-day feasts for weddings. And the end of the 7 days was when they would be together. So this was in the middle of the feast. And he finds this out. Now, as a man, I don't fault Joseph for this. It says that he was a good person. Imagine somebody coming to you and be like, I'm pregnant. There's only one way that we're aware of that happens without this story. So he's thinking, okay, but he loved her enough to not shame her because women who would get pregnant before they were married would be stoned and killed. And he knew this, and he loved her, and it said that he did not want her to be put to shame. So he resolved in him, he's thinking, how do I handle this? He's thinking something's happened. I love her. I don't want to hurt her, but I'm not going to hitch my ride to this. There we go. It says, as he was considering these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Now, when an angel appears, it's pretty something that they needed to say, don't be afraid. First thing out of the mouth, angels here, don't be afraid. Because obviously that's what he was dealing with, fear. They're like, he's not going to hear anything unless we do, you know, unless we first handle, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So he answered his question. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not, so they were not physically together until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, when the angel first appeared to Mary, he said the same thing, don't be afraid, so she could hear what he was going to say. And it wasn't like an angel came and told her something that she had never heard of in her whole life. There were prophecies of a Savior coming, but this was not the way anybody thought it was going to come. And you think this girl was so young, a teenager. And yet God Almighty picked her. See, who you are in private, God knows. And he can't bless the person you pretend to be. He can only bless the person you really are. And we're hiding nothing from him. He knows who we are. He knows our inmost thoughts. He knows what's in our heart. And we might as well show him, because he already sees it. But he can't do anything unless we open the door and let him. And he saw something in Mary. And then he told her what would happen. Now, she knew the prophecies. Imagine being told, you're going to have the Son of God, and knowing, but he's going to die. And he's not only going to die, he's going to die in the worst fathomable way possible. And she said, so it be as you say. When God speaks, nothing can stop it. And God told her something that only he knew, only she was going to understand, until Joseph also, but only she was going to experience it in this way. And the angel, I always thought this was interesting, ended what he said to her with, do not fear. He started it with, don't be afraid, and then he told her, don't be afraid. Why? Because he knew she was going to have moments where she could be. And Joseph, nearly the very same thing. Now go with me to Deuteronomy 10:17, and they're going to throw this one up there. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. There's a lot of messages going around that there's multiple ways to heaven. There is not. It says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. There's not multiple ways. You may have been told there's multiple ways, but there are not. Jesus is the way, the only way. And maybe you came from different backgrounds, or maybe this is your first time hearing a message in a church or listening to a message in a church. I have a responsibility to not lie to you. There is not multiple ways to heaven. And there are two different types of spirits. There are ones from the enemy and ones from God. There is no middle ground. There's none. There's no gray area, and you don't dabble in both. And when God sent Jesus, notice he didn't send anybody else. Nobody else is listed. He sent his son. And when his son died on that cross, he beat every single demon in hell all at once. They all dogpiled on top of him, and it wasn't enough. Name another God that has ever defeated anything. let alone gave you the power to do it as well. No other God is able to heal. No other God is able to do a miracle. No other God is able to do anything. But Jesus Christ, when he walks in the room, things shift, things alter, things change. And Jesus came to live in your body. So when you walk into a room, things should shift. Things should begin to change. Things should alter. God is not just around you. He is inside of you. Luke 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. That's quite a sight. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." So when angels come, they feel it needed to say, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. This wasn't a place where they had streetlights. Imagine being shepherds out in pitch black darkness and the sky lighting up. That would be a sight. Said, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all." Right then, you and I were prophesied. That moment to wise men out with their flock, God brought your answer that you need today, right then. And my answer that I need today, right then. Good news of great joy. See, when Jesus came, it wasn't good news of doom and gloom. Good news of you're going to have to be a good little trooper until you get to heaven, then it's a party. But while you're here on earth, suffer, suffer, suffer. No, he brought good news of great joy. And the Bible says that we're to have heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. That song we sang, you didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down, which means you're not to be living with Jesus when you get in heaven. You should be living with him now. That you could be in the world, but you're not of it. And Jesus himself could have heaven here on earth, that you and I, when we walk through our week, it should be heaven on earth. You should be walking in the full glory of God. You should be walking into rooms and things shift because you're there. You should be speaking things and they that are not, and they become so. You should be able to be doing that. I should be able to be doing that. And if we're not, we're doing it wrong. And if we're not, religion has tried to crud inside to get us to think that we can have heaven one day and we're supposed to just deal. It is what it is. Life happens. You know, it's just life. No, it's not. I'm to have heaven on earth. Doesn't mean that the enemy won't try, but anything he tries, he's already been defeated. That's good news today. Good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Psalms 136:3 says, "Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting." The whole reason God sent his son was from loving kindness, and it's everlasting, and you and I sit in it today. You're not sitting in condemnation or shame, and God does not have a checkbook and going, "Well, yep, that one was wrong, that one was wrong. I'm not going to give you that because, remember, you did this one wrong." No, it's loving kindness. Shame off of you. See, the story of grace, people would say, "Well, then you, that just means you can sin and do whatever you want." No, when grace hits your life, you don't want to act that way because you know who he is. And when grace enters your life, it is like the umbrella of God's goodness, which means the whole reason Jesus came, because he knew we couldn't get there on our own. So he came as grace. And it says that when God looks at his son now, and when he looks at you, there's no differentiation. It's the same. Think of what God did for his son. It's the same as what God would do for you. He lit up the entire sky. And he would do it for you. Because when he sent his son, he wasn't just sending his son. He was making a bridge to know you. When he sent his son, he said, oh, I get to know Cassandra. Oh, there's a way now. I get to love Tammy. I get to love Crystal. I get to love Zach. I get to love Howard. I get to love Ken. I get to love Eric. There's a way now. Because the love that he has for his son was the same love he had for you, but there was no way for you to have it. That's something to celebrate this Christmas. That you were the thought in the Heavenly Father's head of why he even sent his son to begin with. You. You. Yes, you. If it was just you, he still would have done it. It says he's waiting to lavish you with his love. Since before this day we're reading about ever happened, he was waiting. Can you picture that? Of, you ever been in a storm and you're like, the clouds, any minute now, they're about to go. Like, duck for cover, the rain is coming. Imagine a Heavenly Father just waiting in anticipation. It's like kids on Christmas morning. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? It's 3 a.m. No, go back to bed. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Can I open it? Can I open it? That is how your Heavenly Father thought. Oh, come on. Let's get him there. Let's get him there. All the closer to knowing you. All the closer. All the closer. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of this. Just give me a moment as I decide where I'm going to go. Okay. It says that when Herod found out that there would be another king, he didn't like it. And he called for all of the boys 2 years and younger to be killed. All of them. In the next chapter in Matthew, which I don't have time to read, you should. I was reading it last night and I just could picture myself there. It says that there were women wailing in the streets. And you don't think a child in the womb matters to God. Oh, it matters. There's documented proof that the moment of conception, when the sperm enters the egg, there's a flash of light that appears, which is a depiction that when Jesus came, he was the light of the world. And you think of what the enemy tried to come up with to kill one baby that had the light of God. And now God calls all of us sons and daughters. Think of what the enemy would do for one child, and it didn't work. Now imagine every child born has that same DNA. And this is not a political issue. It is a Bible, Word of God, truth issue. That if a child matters in the womb to God, it should matter to you and I. It should matter. And if it doesn't, oh, heart of God is that matters. And why do you think the enemy tries to point and focus in on our children? Why do you think it's tried to infiltrate our schools? Why do you think it's tried to infiltrate our media? Why? Because when he sees our children, he's reminded of a place he can never be again. Because at one point he was seated at the table. And now a son and daughter who is born is seated in a place he never gets to go to again. God's grace did not cover him. And you think, why does the enemy hate us so much? Because you and I can go a place he never can sit again. He never gets to be. He never gets to be there. And our kids, when they're born, whether they deserve it or not, are seated where he will never sit. It says that the enemy hates us for it. But if you don't think there's a reason to guard your kids, there's your reason. The enemy hates them, and he hates where they get to sit. Here's the beauty of that, though. Because that shouldn't scare you. You're seated there now. Which means you have all power, all authority, all of heaven at your disposal with an already defeated enemy. See, it's not that we're fighting the devil. We're enforcing our victory. The fought has been fought, and he lost miserably. There's not a worse way to lose. And he lost in his own house. Jesus came, whooped him in front of all of the people that were worshiping him, whooped him in his own house, took his own keys, gave them to you and I, and we're walking around in the streets with his keys, jingle, jingle. I got the keys to your house. You should have the type of posture when you think of situations to go, you have no authority, I'm holding your keys. With our kids, you hold the keys. And it's important not to get it twisted of who holds them. Because the enemy will try to get you, I have them. No. All it took was God to say one thing. And it was over. And the Bible says when you speak, God speaks. Sometimes all you need to do is say one thing. I renounce every bit of you. I want nothing to do with you. Flee in the name of Jesus. Some of you don't even need somebody to pray for you. That's what you need to do. Take authority. Take authority. You have authority. That's like having a Christmas present and not opening it. You have authority, and you're walking around getting beat up, getting punched in the face. Ever been punched in the face? My son accidentally punches me in the face often. I mean, he's a little boy. He just is swinging all the time. And sometimes my face is the hit of the swing, all right? You're letting the enemy punch you, hit you, and you're holding the keys. Use them. Jesus is walking around with your skin on. Let him loose. You're holding the keys. Don't let the enemy bully you. That's all he has is volume. That's all he has. That's all he has is volume. Ever walked by a fence when you're walking your dog or you're walking yourself? I walk myself. And there's a dog just bark, bark. And why? It's because you're going somewhere and he can't. He's behind the fence. How dare you? Don't you dare walk by. I'm here. I can't move. And yet, why would I get, oh, he's barking at me. It's like, yeah, keep barking. I'm going places. You're stuck. I get to go over here if I want. I get to go over there if I want. I could even walk back and just look at you if I wanted. But you don't get to go anywhere. You're stuck there. And I could go anywhere that I please at this moment. That is what you should be thinking about when it comes to the enemy. He doesn't get to go anywhere. You get to go anywhere you want because of what Jesus did for you, because God sent his son. And yet, how many of us are standing there going, the dog is barking at me. Oh, it's so loud. Oh, Lord, what if it gets past the fence? The enemy has a cage. Worse than an electric fence. You can't go past it. You have the keys. Say, I got the keys. I'm in charge. I'm going to teach you how to deal with the enemy, and we're going to close. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle fly? They will run and not grow weary. That would be nice. Ever ran, grew a little weary? You can imagine this in real time. I will run, I will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The number one enemy of the eagle is a snake. And how does the enemy deal with the snake? We're gonna learn something right now. The eagle hits the snake with their beak, their mouth, hits it. And then it picks it up, and it begins to hit its face against the rock. I mean, what a way to go. Hits its face against the rock. And it's a powerful depiction of what we do with the enemy. Because the beak of the eagle, the mouth, speaks of our mouth. So when the snake comes, when the devil comes, you hit him with the word of God from your mouth. It is written. It is written that I'm not frightened in anything by my opponent, which is a clear sign to them of their destruction. That's in the word of God. And a clear sign to them of my salvation as a child of God. You hit them with the word. And then you speak it out in the name of Jesus. And it says, then the eagle in the natural picks up the snake, starts smashing its head against the rock. And that's Jesus. That's how you deal with the enemy. That's how the eagle deals with the snake, and that's how you and I deal with the enemy, is we speak the word of God, and then we grab that enemy, and we hit his head against the name of Jesus, against the rock of our salvation. So some of us today, that's your answer, is you grab the snake like the eagle, and you start speaking to it. I'm the head and not the tail. I am above only, and I'm never beneath. I am always provided for. I always have more than enough. My needs are supplied. I am healed, whole, delivered, free. I don't deal with eating disorders. I don't deal with neck pain. I do not deal with depression. I don't deal with anxiety. In the name of Jesus, for I have the mind of Christ. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you hit that snake against the rock of the word. And the eagle, you know, you never really hear of eagles dying by snakes. Do you? Why do you think God put that? So we could see how to handle the enemy, that it's not as difficult as we're all making it out to be. Don't give him more power. He's a weak little chihuahua barking like a big lion dog. And if that's the shadow that he would like to portray. Have you ever seen one of those, I forget, there's a cartoon of it, or maybe it's in a movie, and it's like this big dog trying to act like, and there's this big shadow of this lion, and they're like so afraid. They look around the corner, it's a little chihuahua with like this magnifying thing. That's your enemy. He's that weak. He's that powerless. He's the chihuahua and you're the lion. The lion of Judah. See, Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't leave that way. We celebrate Christmas of God sending his son as the ultimate gift, which it was. But a lot of people, that's still their vision of Jesus, is a baby in a manger. When he grew up, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he rose again. And it says that King of Kings and Lord of Lords are written on his thighs, that he shall come like a fire. See, the enemy knows he's not baby Jesus in a manger anymore. Do you? How do you see him? There are so many believers who are still visioning Jesus as a little baby in a manger. Oh, so cute. Oh, we celebrate. Thank you, God. When you could be walking into your home and demanding order because of what God did for you. You could be walking into a doctor's appointment and go, I don't care what you said. I know that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't go by what I hear. I don't go by what I see. I don't go by what I feel, because those things lie. Yep. And a fact on earth is never a fact in heaven. And heaven's facts are the lives and the gifts that we all should be opening and living. Which is, I am healed. I am restored. I am provided for. I don't have nightmares. I don't have anxiety. I do not have depression. I do not have nightmares. I do not have anything less than what Jesus paid. And if there's something that is trying to make you pay that price, you say, oh no, by the word of God, Jesus defeated you. And I command you to go to your rightful place. And I'll stay in mine, which is seated at the right hand of the Father of God. John 6, Jesus grew up and said, I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats of me or drinks of me, they will no longer be hungry, no longer be thirsty. Right then, he's saying, everything you need for every day, it's been provided. When you wake up tomorrow, you're provided for. When you wake up a year from now, you're provided for. When you wake up 10 years from now, you'll be provided for. When you're gone and in heaven and your kids' kids are still here, you are provided for. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes today? I'm not going to close this service without giving you a chance to accept Jesus as Lord of your life. If you've never done that, the Bible's very clear that there's only one way to the Father. There's no other way. There's no loophole. It's that, and it's the best way, because it's a way of life and life abundantly. If you've never said that, it says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And if you would just open it, he would come in. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that today. But I'm going to give you the words. You need to give it the meaning. Just saying the words, but mean it when you say it. And the whole church is going to say it with you. Church, can I count on you? You're going to say this with them. Say, Dear Jesus, right now, I accept you as Lord and as Savior. Come into my heart, into my life, into my mind, into my emotions, into my physical body, and into my spiritual body. And I will never be the same. I am forgiven. I am whole. Not because of me, but because of you. And I make the exchange. In Jesus' name, I accept that free gift. Now, before we close, there's an extra part to that that's the most important. And it's the Holy Spirit. And you need him every day. That's where the power of God comes from. And it says that when you accept Jesus, that he's a free gift. And it's not those free gifts at the stores that you're like, thanks a lot. You know, I know why you gave that away. It's the gift that there's no price tag because it's so valuable. Would you say, Jesus, I'm your child. And so now I accept the Holy Spirit. I will begin to speak in heavenly languages. The moment I open my mouth, it will come. And it will guide me and direct me. And I will have the power, the same power that raised you from the dead, now lives on the inside of me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Would you give them a round of applause? Stand to your feet with me today. We're going to close this service in an old traditional way. And there's hopefully, if you didn't come in with candles, if you would raise your hand if you didn't grab one, an usher will happily bring one to you. Just kind of wave one down. I don't see any hands. I don't want to miss you. We're going to sing this song. And we have a gift today for all of you beautiful ladies that my mom put together for you, and I think it's really special. And so after the song, we're going to give that to you. And if anybody would love prayer, we would love to pray for you, and I'd love for you to come down. But we're going to take a moment, and we're going to worship, because life's about to get really busy. But none of it matters if you don't bring him with you. None of it matters if Jesus doesn't go with you. If you walk out these doors and you say, nice service, but he doesn't walk with you, what good is it? What good is it? If he doesn't walk into your living room today when you're having a hard time, or maybe this is a Christmas, the first one without someone you love, what good is it to have the Savior of the world come live in your flesh if you don't work with him? If you don't invite him in to every moment. So we're going to sing this, and I want you to sing it from a different standpoint of not just God, thank you for what you did, but God, now because of what you did for me, I can now. I can because you did. We're going to sing this, and they're going to dim the lights. And afterwards,
thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast.
We're going to do communion.
If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we'd love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.